BP could be in really bad shape.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. It's been 2.5 months since oil started gushing from the Deepwater Horizon well into the Gulf of Mexico. And since then, the Washington Post reports BP's skimmed or burned about 60% of what it promised regulators it could remove in a single day. Meanwhile, the British government has reportedly become increasingly concerned that the British oil giant could collapse. The Times of London reports the government is drawing up contingency plans for such an event. Let's bring in Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard. He's with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So this sounds pretty dramatic, collapse. What's in this report?
Well, the Times is saying that the British government is preparing for the worst-case scenario, just in case BP is taken over by a foreign company or broken up and sold off. There's a lot at stake here for the UK. I mean, the BP owns a big chunk of the UK's energy infrastructure. That includes a pipeline system out in the North Sea connecting 50 oil and gas fields. And it also owns a stake in the so-called BTC pipeline. This is the one that carries oil and gas from the Caspian Sea to Europe. So there's a lot at stake here, quite apart from the fact that BP employs 10,000 people in the UK and pays around $8 billion in UK taxes every year.
What's the government saying about this, Stephen?
The government is refusing to comment on the story. BP, however, has dismissed any suggestion that it will collapse. The company says, we will recover from this.
And what is BP doing to ensure that recovery, that survival?
Well, we're not entirely sure. There have been persistent stories that BP has been talking to sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East about raising extra cash there. Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Kuwait, Libya have been mentioned. BP says it has been urging investors to acquire more BP shares, but it denies that it's contemplating issuing any more stock. That would be pretty explosive. I mean, that would infuriate existing shareholders who would find their holdings, which have already halved, fall even further in value.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visits Washington today. A controversy over Jewish settlements in the West Bank and the blockade of Gaza are likely to dominate the agenda there. One thing that probably won't, Israel's economy, Brett Neely reports.
Israel's troubles appear to have had almost no economic impact. At 7%, unemployment there is lower than in the U.S., and the financial crisis never touched Israeli banks. Glenn Yago is an economist at the Milken Institute. He says the country's foreign policy turmoil has even helped develop the economy.
The demand for solutions to what were battlefield technologies are easily transferring into civilian uses.
He says that sort of innovation has also transformed agriculture, which was Israel's first big export industry.
It's also not selling tomatoes, but selling tomato seeds and new variants, new seed technologies that increase productivity in agriculture outside of Israel.
The country's thriving export sector sent almost $19 billion worth of goods to the U.S. last year, twice what we sent to Israel. Yago adds that while Gaza gets all the attention these days, the relatively peaceful Palestinian-controlled West Bank is also experiencing an economic boom. A bit of good news in a part of the world that needs it. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are much higher at the moment, 2-3%. Asian shares were higher today as well, about 1%. Wall Street opens after the holiday after an abysmal week. Markets were off 5-6% last week. Italy's flagship airline Alitalia is joining Air France, KLM, and Delta in a transatlantic joint venture. It's said not to be a merger, but a cost-sharing plan. The joint venture will control a quarter of all transatlantic capacity. That's 250 flights, about 55,000 seats a day, and $10 billion in revenue.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review. The July-August issue is on newsstands now, featuring an in-depth interview with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
We thought we'd test our knowledge of international affairs once again, as we do every so often, and we're glad to bring in Stefan Richter with this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. Let's get it done.
Which of the following major economies will have to adjust the most in terms of its budget to get back to a sustainable debt level? Italy, Spain, the United Kingdom, or United States?
I'm going to guess the United States.
You are so right. And the bad news for the United States is that it needs to adjust its budget almost as much as Greece, which is the laughing stock, between now and 2020. About 12% need to be cut out of our budget in order to get back to that sustainable level by 2020, which is considered like 60%.
Part of the stimulus, obviously, but also the debt going back many, many years here in this country, Stefan.
And the bottom falling out of the economy with no tax revenues at the state and local levels. And I guess the only good news is that other countries have a hard time, too. The new government in the UK will need to correct its budget balances by about 9%. The Japanese have even a harder job. They need to cut 13%. But that shows us that the pain is quite evenly spread around the globe. And wherever this financial crisis came from, we're all going to carry its consequences for quite some time to come.
And not a whole lot of cheery information. Stefan Richter, thank you for...
I'm sorry about that today, but I'll try to be more sunny next time.
Well, we'll hope so. All right, Stefan Richter joining us this morning. Stefan Richter, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stefan Richter is a publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com, the daily online magazine of the global economy, politics, and culture. And finally, the American Library Association says there's a trend among libraries to put more branches in consumer-friendly places. They're smaller, they don't need as many staffers, and they offer do-it-yourself convenience. Branches have popped up in cafes, grocery stores. Some have drive-through windows. Dozens now are even operating in shopping malls, a quiet respite from the hustle and bustle. So next time you want to check out some Shakespeare, you can slurp on an Orange Julius and work your way to the Gap. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.